All righty. Well, it's been a while since we talked with this young lady. Diana is with us from Promote Michigan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You and I have talked about so many different things, beer, lighthouses. Today it's going to be libraries. Tell me about the organization that you head.
Well, for a few years now, I've been pretty fascinated with the Andrew Carnegie Libraries around the state of Michigan. And so, I don't know, I guess last summer I started to dig in a little bit more on the history and thought, you know what, I have enough here for a presentation. And so I'm excited to be bringing that program to Escanaba the day after Labor Day, and then also over to Ishpeming the day after that, and shed some light on how these libraries came to be and why they're so important for the state of Michigan.
Carnegie is that's a name that a lot of people, the younger generation, may not know, but that was a big name for many, many years. A lot of philanthropic things still to this day. But tell me a little about Andrew Carnegie.
Well, he was, most people know him really as, you know, this industrialist, and he was actually born very poor, came over from Scotland to America, and worked his way up in factories. And when he became quite successful in his steel industry, he started, you know, of course, buying up and owning iron operations, including many in the Upper Peninsula. And he also felt that when he was building up these company towns and his businesses, he has a quote that I just love. It says, "A library outranks any other one thing a community can do to benefit its people." And so through his team, they decided to do this give back and started offering money anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 for communities to build libraries, to provide not only places in the community for people to get books, but they also needed to have reading rooms, and they encouraged lecture halls so that they would bring in people, like I'm going to be doing next week, to share historical information and offer up discussions. And I don't think most people know, you know, he built these libraries all over the world, 61 of them in Michigan, and four of the first five were in the UP. And it was because of those connections that he had to the iron towns that he owned and the operations that he had there.
Is the one in Ishpeming still in operation? I know it was when I was in college, but that was a long time ago.
It is, actually. I was in the UP last week also, and drove past and took a picture outside of the building. And it is still an operational library. Many of them are. Ironwood was actually the very first Carnegie Library in Michigan. And it is still operating. They're actually undergoing, I think, something like a $650,000 renovation. Or at least that's what their grant from MEDC was. So they are still there. Iron Mountain, I think theirs is still operating. Many of them are still, if they're not an active library, they are a cultural center, so or tied to some area of education. So like in Sault Ste. Marie, I believe it's part of the school system now. Down here in Petoskey, low under the bridge, the library still owns it, but they use it more for their lectures and special exhibits and such. We've lost a handful of them over the years. Sadly, I was just also in Iron River, and theirs had to be taken down a couple of years ago. So we've lost several of them, but what I really hope to do next week when I'm there is show some information about when these libraries were built. Often they would get their money, and it would take a couple of years before the building would actually open, because the community had to commit land. They had to commit 10% of whatever the donation was from Carnegie to operate the library for the future. And so it didn't happen overnight. And so the presentation talks about when the grants were awarded, often who built that library. Sometimes the local media would have, it's great when I find a newspaper article of the laying of the cornerstone or of the grand opening.
And so it really is a timeline, and the presentation is put together in chronological order. So like I said, four of the first five libraries featured are going to be from the Upper Peninsula.
And the last question I have for you, Diana, is Escanaba. People, the old-timers, of course, remember that library. The building is still there. What has become of the Escanaba Carnegie Library? Of course, we have the library now that's connected with City Hall, but what became of our Carnegie Library?
Well, thankfully, it's still standing. It's still there. It's privately owned. Back in the 1950s, they removed the beautiful dome from the top of it, which was a sad affair, of course, because that was unique. There weren't a lot of the Carnegie Libraries in Michigan that had that unique feature. But when you look at pictures without the dome, it's very bizarre, because you're just not used to seeing it. They have renovated it. It has been put back on there. It is privately owned by a local businessman. I have done some outreach, waiting to hear back. So if he happens to be listening, I would love to take a tour of that building while I'm in town to see the inside. I've always been fascinated with architecture. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a librarian. So libraries have just always had a special place in my heart. And I love it when I can now find one of these beautiful Carnegie libraries and walk those halls and think, yeah, what was that like in the early 1900s when these libraries were first opened to the communities?